Homily for the 21st Sunday in Ordinary Time, August 21st, 2022, St. Mary's Church, Grand Forks. This weekend, I want to begin with an appeal on behalf of a priest in our diocese, Father Anthony Sami, at Seven Dolors Parish in Fort Totten. Fort Totten is on the Spirit Lake Reservation a few miles southwest of Devil's Lake. The pastor they had for the past 35 years, Father Chuck Lloydy, God rest his soul, was a saintly man, a Dominican friar who lived a very humble and simple lifestyle. He insisted on making do with what they had and not racking up expenses on improvement projects. Now there is about $500,000 of work that desperately needs to be done. If you go to YouTube and search Seven Dolors Fort Totten, you'll find a 3-minute video Father Anthony put together that shows the specific things that need repairing. Examples include shingles, windows, and sections of plaster falling from the ceiling in the sanctuary just above the presider's chair. The Diocese of Fargo is working with Seven Dolors Parish to organize a widespread campaign helping them get the word out. Perhaps you've attended other area churches that have already mentioned this appeal. You will find throughout some of the pews a pamphlet with additional information and a contribution envelope. I can't think of a single project in our diocese with a more urgent need or more reliant on the help of folks like us. If you can find it in your heart as a household to make a gift, they would be most grateful. And please continue to pray for the people of the Spirit Lake Nation, many of whom face great adversity in their daily lives. Lord, will only a few people be saved? This question comes from someone who, in my opinion, has paid close attention to what Jesus has had to say and is a little confused. On one hand, Jesus frequently harkens back to his Father's mercy through parables like the prodigal son and the good Samaritan. Jesus asserts that his Father is as kind and merciful as we can imagine and then some. But God's mercy never exists apart from justice. Human beings enjoy the tremendous gift of free will, but by the same token, we have to live with the consequences of our actions. The Lord was quick to tell his followers about the demanding nature of the kingdom of God, that they must keep their hand to the plow and not look back. He refused to lower the lofty standards to which they are called. There seem to be two incompatible images at work here. We have the model of mercy, reminding one of a large university with tens of thousands of students enrolled. And then we have the model of justice, reminding one of a place like Harvard or MIT that only accept the very best and brightest applicants. This question is not mere speculation. Is the number to be saved very many, very few, or somewhere in between? Before going any further, we should mention a common heresy that has popped up from time to time called universalism. This heresy teaches that while Jesus spoke about there being a hell, it couldn't possibly be a permanent location. At some point in God's mysterious way, everyone, demons and impious people alike, will eventually be released from hell and enter heaven. The problems with this theory are obvious. What becomes of the person who chooses to despise God and be separated from him? Will God violate the person's freedom, dragging them into paradise, kicking and screaming against their will? If there's no danger of eternally perishing, there's no drama to life. I can go ahead and sin to my heart's content as long as I'm willing to put up with a relatively momentary deprivation of the beatific vision after I die. As I've said many times before, the judgment of God is his ratifying our priorities and choices in life. We may find God's judgment to be harsh or cruel, but it is definitely not arbitrary. A skeptic might claim that Jesus responds by avoiding the question today, but really he probes behind the question. Everyone wants to personalize the issue and is thinking, so what is required of me to pass through the pearly gates? Jesus' response keeps both these elements of mercy and justice in play. The mercy part is that God is the one who does the redeeming, and as we'll explore in a moment, people of every nation are included. The justice part is that living as a true disciple of Christ involves discipline. Strive to enter through the narrow gate. We struggle to wrap our minds around this metaphor. How is it that heaven, a spacious domain of banquet halls, should have such a narrow hallway leading into it? This is mysterious to us. One explanation I found helpful is to think of an ancient walled city. Let's say that a neighboring army springs a surprise attack, and as they march toward the city, everyone who is out in the countryside rushes to get in where they'll be safe, behind the walls. But quickly, a crowd gathers at the main gate and brings things to a standstill. The shrewd person would anticipate this and hurry around to a narrow secondary gate. That door may be rusty and stiff, but he struggles with all his might and gives it a good shove, finally pushing it open and running inside. This is the sense in which Jesus says, strive to enter through the narrow gate. The Greek phrase here is commonly translated in other contexts as, use your maximum effort. We see the connection between discipline and achievement in all corners of life experience. An athlete swears off fatty foods and subjects himself to arduous training. A classical musician spends many weary, solitary hours in practice. A saint must pray and pray and then deny himself so that he lives as he prays. But what are we to make of this analogy Jesus tells us of the master of the house who has people come to his door and rejects them, insisting that he does not know where they are from? Would the Lord really not know those who appeal to his power? Would he really turn them away? Well, now is a good time to balance this passage with a verse from the book of Revelation. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, then I will enter his house and dine with him, and he with me. In a famous artistic depiction of this scene, the door on which our Lord Jesus knocks has no outside knob. He refuses to barge in, but will only enter when we allow him to do so. How many times did we ignore him as he knocked on our door? Have we ever slammed the door in his face by what we have done and what we failed to do? There are many who today pound on Christ's door in a moment of panic. What were they doing yesterday? And if the crisis they find themselves in is averted, what will they do differently tomorrow? Jesus concluded by prophesying that people from all directions would find a home with him in heaven, whether they have the words descendant of Jacob on their name tags or not. In our first reading, Isaiah presented us with several names of people who will enter God's kingdom. Many of them were from the family of Noah, which represents their universality. The name Catholic caught on quickly for the Church of Christ because the word itself means universal. Whereas so many religions portray the majority of the world's inhabitants as on the outside looking in, with the Holy Spirit, there is no longer an outside as such. He can draw us from darkness into light and is not drawing national boundaries in the process. I experienced this in a profound way during a pilgrimage to World Youth Day in Italy back in the Jubilee year 2000. Our diocesan group was in the famous town of Assisi, the home of Saints Francis and Claire. I can celebrate it at a large mass with upwards of 100 priests and a congregation that must have been near 2,000. The mass was in French, as it happened, because a large percentage of the attendees spoke French. The laminated cards they gave us with the English translation of the mass parts came very much in handy. At communion time, probably since I was near the front of the group of concelebrants, I was one of the priests asked to help distribute the body of Christ. The folks who came forward in my line wore clothing and carried flags from so many countries that I lost count. Words were not our common language, but our Lord Jesus was. If I'd needed to ask directions from them or vice versa, we'd have been in a world of hurt, but we shared the Eucharist and a firm faith that Christ had died and had risen for our salvation. That day, in a new way, I saw the beauty of God's grace at work in His Holy Catholic Church. Amen.